This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Here we go. It is hour one of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. I hope you're having a fantastic day. It's a Game 5 Thursday. It's a Rangers day off Thursday, but it is also a Cowboys OTA day and media availability. So we've already had a Brian Schottenheimer press conference back there at 11:45, said a lot of interesting things. And we're going to talk about that. And, of course, for too long, practice is going to be over, and reporters can tweet about what they saw. We're going to be talking with players, and it's what you call a content-rich environment here, boys, as we open up this Thursday. General at your service, Addies. There's brought us the former Cowboys scout, the Super Bowl champion, Lucius Alexander's in the Pimp Cup over there. Master Control here, 75, and Fitzhugh fixing to go 5. Here we got Woolchuck and Chia following the house. Woolchuck wearing the star sweater. He's still believing, but the belief is like a glimmer. It might just be a spark that I occasionally see over there.
It's flickering. It's flickering a little bit.
Okay. I appreciate your honesty and your vulnerability there. Mm-hmm. I think, to be honest, I think a lot of people agree with you. Yeah. And it's in these moments where it's a huge topic, but nobody's really comfortable talking about it. It kind of reminds me of that Saturday of Flagtober 2023. After the Astros had dealt that devastating blow at the Globe to the Rangers, yeah. You're going to Houston for Game 6. We handed out hundreds of flags that day, talked with tons of Tolos. Only two of them talked to me about Rangers-Astros because it had kicked you in the gut so hard. You bet your ass you're watching the game. You can't stop thinking about it. But talking about it, you just kind of, yep, you're on the mat. It's about a 10% chance historically. But the other thing we know about sports, you don't need a high percentile. Go ask the Mavs and Cooper Flag how a 1.8%er works out. Okay? 10% of the time, a team in the Stars situation does win 3 consecutive games to advance in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And I'm excited about that. Carter Freeman's coordinating your video. You can watch us at 105thefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. I mean, at least it's not like the NBA where you only have like a 4% chance. Yeah, this is, we're alive, buddy. But, yeah, OTAs today, man, and a lot going on. We're going to talk about that with you. The Franklin injury attorney text line is open at 877-881-1053. I guess, Micah's still not there. No surprise.
No.
Shoddy said he saw him on his way out of town, Brian.
Yeah, that's, we're in that voluntary program of it. But, I give Micah credit. At least he's not on a boat, getting filmed and stuff like that. If he's doing stuff, he's...
Wow. Shots fired at Stephon Diggs.
He's hanging out. He's not in Japan like Miles Garrett is right now.
I don't know. I think Stephon Diggs might be doing it right, if you ask me.
I mean, to the point where the head coach has to kind of talk about it, I don't know. But
what was that pink's powdery stuff?
Yeah, exactly.
That he was,
you're just hating. You're just jealous. You're not this pretty.
Yeah, absolutely popular. Jealous. But no, that's... But in talking to some folks over there, they didn't expect Micah to be there for the voluntary part of things. They just didn't.
So yeah,
on the field, that is.
And Shotty was good talking about it. He emphasized, look, it's voluntary. It's voluntary. And, he talked about the fact that he believes Micah can, get his work in. And I think that's the biggest key here as a fan is, Micah is going to be great on Sundays. He can do what Deion did, where he's like, I'm going to play baseball all summer, and then I'm going to show up. I'm going to lock down the best receiver out here. And Mike is going to show up, and in at least 75% of the games, he's going to give that quarterback hell. You can take that to the bank.
That's right. I think Schottenheimer mentioned that he did bump into Micah at the airport.
Bumped into each other.
Yeah.
Last week they had lunch. This week just, two ships passing in the night.
Micah was heading to Bangkok. I found that interesting.
Oh, he went to Thailand.
Yeah.
Maybe we're getting more sumo stuff.
I think he was just trying to chop it up with Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah.
Staying at his Airbnb, being his place out there.
Yeah.
Chances are he returns humble, though. Even if he only can spend one night there. Brian, you know what I'm talking
one
about.
One night in Bangkok.
Makes the world go round, right? One night in
Bangkok. Makes a hard man humble.
Hard man humble. I knew it was something like
makes
that.
Makes the world go round.
Todd Archer's coming up at 4 o'clock, he though. Is. We'll talk to him.
He'll tell you what's going on.
One of the best Cowboys reporters out there. Yeah, I always like his stuff. I like Newey's question. He had a follow-up question about Tyler Guyton. Like, where are you confidence-wise?
Sure.
And Shoddy said, Guy's been one of the hardest-working dudes.
Yeah.
And then he compared him to Jalen Tolbert.
Yeah, like, that was the pivot. Where I was like, oh, geez.
Yeah, could you compare him to somebody else?
Yeah.
There's several players on this team that have gotten a new lease on life.
Okay.
I think he's one of them. I think Steele got a new lease on life.
That'd be a good comp. If you say he reminds me of Steele,
well, sure.
Didn't have a great start, but he's been working so hard.
Yeah. I think that Bell, I think Thomas, I think there's some guys on this team that were kind of put in some spots where like they went from being guys that were looked as probably helping out, you know, being a guy that, hey, we could count on this guy to like, the coaches, you know, put him on the back burner. And all of a sudden you get a coaching staff that gets fired, then all of a sudden you're like, hey, new lease on life. You know, that's why you get Thomas saying, it's fun again.
Yeah.
You know, you get those kind of comments because these players, they sometimes feel like, man, hey, we're at the front of the line and now we're at the back of the line. And I think that Guyton was in a situation where they were not willing to play him because they were trying to save jobs. And I think they took it out on him that way.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I do. You know, there's if Jerry Jones, general manager, should have walked into Mike McCarthy's office and said, Guyton's playing left tackle.
Yeah. It was a missed opportunity, especially once the season was lost.
Yeah. If Mike says, well, you know, and is it fair to Mike? No, it's not, because he's trying to save his job. You know,
somebody was making Zeke play.
Yeah.
So,
but that's what I'm saying, though. You're in a situation where you're like, you know, you as a general manager, you should have walked in there. They lost some opportunities with Guyton.
Absolutely.
Good or bad. It could have been, you know, Dak wasn't playing the quarterback, so you didn't have to worry about him potentially getting hurt, you know. But like I said, they missed some opportunities there. And I think the general manager just said, okay, fine, you do what you want to do, play what you want to play, you know, play who you want to play, try and save your job, even though I'm not going to keep you. You know, I think the general manager missed an opportunity there.
You know, I was watching you and Jeff earlier, and I think the topic was, have you done enough?
Mm-hmm. And I asked Jeff that, have you done enough?
I thought it was an interesting question, and I've been thinking about it throughout the day. And I said, no, you haven't done enough.
Yeah.
But what you did do is you went out and got George Pickens and put him with CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah.
And you aren't going to have two wide receivers like this. Apparently, George made a play the other day at practice where CeeDee was like, yeah! He's like, finally, another dude out here on the football field that can crush. You're going to get light boxes. You can't double team everybody. Ferguson's going to be open in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
You can't let this season hinge on the fact that you got Tyler Guyton to left tackle. If he's not good by October 1st, you need to bring in a veteran. If he's not good by August 15th, you need to bring in a veteran.
I asked Jeff this question this morning. And by the way, happy birthday, Jeffrey, if you're listening.
Happy birthday.
I asked Jeffrey this question. I go, if you could give health, complete health, to one player other than Dak Prescott, who would you give it to? Complete health. I said Jake Ferguson.
Yeah, we talked about that on Love of the Star.
Oh, it's Love of the Star.
Yeah, we got asked that. Dean Julian. I've been
on two.
That.
Okay, I was on two podcasts.
It blends together.
Okay, it blends together. I'm sorry. It was you and I. Yeah. Okay, yeah. I knew I was doing
it was a good question.
Yeah,
it was and a I very loved good. Your answer.
Yeah. I think it's where do you guys stand with this?
It's good.
Give me a healthy knee and brain of Jake Ferguson.
I'd probably go Overshown.
Oh wow, the Overshown.
Like if he just was, yeah, you could like just have him week
just
one,
heal him up.
He's
right
just ready
now.
To go and healthy.
Man, I don't know. There's a part of me that would say Bland.
Bland. We discussed.
Bland,
initially,
I'm
my
sorry
mind.
About that. Well, we did. You and I did love the Stars morning.
That's healthy right. Guys, you want to make sure they stay healthy.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Micah, of course. I mean, look, I made the point last year in our postgame shows, the defense was giving up tons of points and yards to the Saints, to the Ravens, and Micah's on the field. But we saw just how much the pass rush declined with him off of it.
Yeah, I mean, truly the only correct answer is Micah. But outside, I mean, the
the splits.
Outside your two top dudes on offense and defense.
Yeah, yeah. It's Dak and Micah for sure.
But and if they hadn't gotten Pickens, I probably would have said CD. Because I don't know what the hell they would have done without CD Lamb.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, obviously one of your best players, you know, if you can get these guys healthy. But, I mean, your biggest injury concerns right now are Diggs and Overshown. These are the guys with catastrophic leg injuries. And it's to the point that you can't trust them for this year and their careers might be over. So if I could have either one of those guys at 100%, but I have some lingering injury concern with Micah Parsons. I mean, Micah Parsons isn't 100% durable, but he plays through stuff and he plays the majority of the game. Same with CeeDee Lamb. You know, CeeDee Lamb did a hell of a job last year playing through stuff. That was like Zach Martin-esque. Mm-hmm. I guess he had to do like 5 months of physical therapy there on that shoulder.
They were playing CeeDee when they shouldn't have, and they weren't playing Guyton when they should have.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, wild.
Gosh, you know. Dang.
Well, those coaches are no longer with us anymore.
Yeah. That did get weird, man. There was a lot of stuff going on.
Oh, you know, I'm getting on Jerry Jones about not making that move and going in there, but I could understand why. Like, okay, fine. You know, I know that I'm asking you to play guys and you're going to get fired. That's, you know.
And there was a mathematical shot, you know, until you had a big loss there in late December. They were holding out hope. And if things had held on against the Bengals or the Commanders that kind of got away from you, it would have been there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What's crazy is they damn near did it. That would have been insane and disappointing because you would have been picking significantly later. Probably wouldn't have had that first 3-round haul that they got. Evan Grant writing this morning that the floundering of Garcia and Simeon may leave the Rangers with no choice. You know, great stories there on you know the dilemmas that they're facing. I was surprised to see this so soon. A month ago, I asked Sandler, and you know I trust Sandler's thoughts on this, but here's Evan Grant writing about it, beat writer. The guy's dialed in. I thought they'd give Simeon the rest of this year. Like Sandler said, give him the rest of this year. If it's still happening next year, then you would have 2 years. But with Evan Grant writing it, he's not just going to spin this up out of nowhere and then have to answer to Simeon, Garcia, CY, and Boach after the game or before the game. This is, you know, and then you read some of the quotes from Bochy last night that he was like, you know, this is just part of being a big leaguer and we're all men and we're going to handle it that way. He's getting set for tough conversations. And I wonder what that looks like. I think you should make them the fourth outfielder and the fifth infielder. Mm. But, I would also cut that down. Like, this is not a rotational situation. We're looking for great matchups where you have killed the starting pitcher. And maybe one or two games a week, like it's that bad, you know. And now you can't let it push you double digit games back. So you got to do anything you can now. Let's get a AAA player up here is what I would also be thinking. But you really can't because of the position that they hold and because of the contracts that they have. You couldn't just say let's put the you kind of got to leave them on the team and hope it does better while minimizing the damage. And now that they're getting healthy, Wolchuk, they have a chance to do that.
It's the best pitching they've ever had and the worst offense they've ever had. I mean, it's wild. They're third in Major League Baseball in ERA. They're the second worst batting average in Major League Baseball. As a team, their OPS is the lowest in franchise history. It's awful. And it's like for these pitchers, I mean, watching that game last night, you feel for them. They can't throw a bad pitch.
Every
single bad pitch.
Every inning is a high leverage situation.
I mean, inning. One home run ball, one hit last night cost them a game. And you look at Tyler Mahle, and I mean, go through the list of these poor starters. Every start, they're the three or fewer runs scored. This offense is giving them nothing. Mm-hmm. I mean, naturally, something is seriously wrong with the psyche. It's something that's more than just what they're doing, the hitting coaches. There's something.
It's wild. Like 2023 was Simeon's best statistical year by WAR. And then last year was pretty good, like an average year for Simeon, even though it was disappointing. And now it's like he's become one of the worst players in the world.
Yeah.
While we're watching LeBron at 40, while we're watching Corey Perry at 40, Tom Brady did what he did at 43. Like, Simeon's legit this bad at 34 years old. It makes no sense.
Second worst offensive player in baseball, according to FanGraphs.
So,
Know who the worst is?
By that,
I can find out.
Don't you want to give it more time? Like, this shouldn't be happening. What is going on? It's a historically bad slump for this guy. So I don't want to outright him. You know, I don't want to do something that would
you know, make him mad. I'm sure he would understand, like, dude, we need an extreme part-time role. We're hunting for opportunities, and we're looking for you to start clicking in the cage and live BPs, and then we'll try it again. But right now we're thinking, like, you know, sometimes, like, just totally decompressing from the stress of it gives you a chance and a fresh outlook. What's that take, 2 or 3 weeks without playing? Let's do phantom injury. We'll bring you back here mid-June. And, you know, see if we can get something cooking. But I was, you know, after the surprise, I'm like, okay, this is good, because CY's not waiting around with these. And it's such a sensitive situation. I thought maybe they'll just let this thing, you know, drag out and hope he starts playing better. But it's clear they're not in that business. And they're not going to let things be awkward and ambiguous like the Cowboys did with Zeke or Dowdle or any of the other decisions that we just talked about from last year. Okay, but yeah, the team needs to get better fast. You know, scored 3 runs on a dozen hits over 3 games. That's only the 5th time this century they've hit both of those thresholds in a single series. So
didn't Toronto only score 4 runs themselves in the series?
Yeah.
Didn't they win 2 or 3 games only scoring 4 runs?
Yeah, I mean, I saw from our buddy Michael Beer, Rangers starting pitchers have allowed 3 runs or less in 19 consecutive games. That's a franchise record. Yeah. But the team is 9-10 in those games.
Wow. So bad. Well, it should be easy. I mean, if you take out players that are on historically bad runs, and that's, what, 22% of your lineup, if you could get those two guys out and put in players hitting 220 with a home run every 50 at-bats, you would be in better shape. How about some college hoops? UT coach Sean Miller talking about how the COVID fifth-year players are now flushed out of the system. Says there's about 25% less quality veterans in the transfer portal. He says you take out that layer of talent. I think that just that alone, I don't know if there's 14 or 16 bids next year for the SEC. Greg Sankey said this year was just a unicorn and it's not the other new normal. But the other takeaway is maybe the big money schools won't have the constant supply of starter level talent that they could tap into. And maybe we can get some upsets next year in the NCAA tournament. Wouldn't that be nice?
Be fun.
Tournament's better. Tournament's better with upsets. You know that, Brian.
I do.
Okay.
It's Michael Massey, by the way, from the Kansas City Royals.
Michael Massey.
Worst offensive player in baseball right now per FanGraphs advanced offensive stats.
4-3-2 suggesting PEDs.
That's like you.
Yeah, but the guy, they didn't shrink?
No, I don't think it was PEDs that they were using. I think it was just, I mean, it sucks because there were so many Ranger haters that were saying it was lightning in a bottle. You know, this was just a beautiful magic carpet ride of a run. And I didn't want to believe that. But when you look at, you had a great, really 2 or 3 months to start the year offensively, and then things kind of trickled out, and then you were able to get hot again for 6 weeks and win a World Series, and ever since then, it's really just kind of been poochies on offense.
Yeah.
You kind of are what you are.
No, you're right about that. You got to accept that reality, and I think that's what the Rangers are in the process of doing. But it's real that their pitching is that good, and if you just had average offense with the resources that they have, you know, that's why I'm talking about trading John Gray just to free up that payroll. You know, I'm trading John Gray for a prospect so I get that $15 million credit to go into the market and spend on offense.
Right.
I think they should be able to create an average offense just by taking Simeon and Garcia out and putting some decent players in there. And, you know, so I'm not giving up hope because this has always been a good offense, hasn't it? I mean, sure, they had some years from 2016 to 2020.
The history of the Rangers has been they can score runs and they can't pitch. Yeah. Now they can pitch, they can't score any runs. It's crazy.
All righty, G-Bag Nation. No Rangers game tonight. They'll be back at it tomorrow. We'll replay the G-Bag of the Day champion for you on the other side, then get to Wolchuk's top 10 at 220. Where are you taking us today, buddy?
Yeah, it's an interesting national day, National Paperclip Day. I was thinking, like, okay, what's something that you've got in your home that you just have way too much of? 877-881-1053. Objects you probably have too many of, that's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, buddies, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Time now. We'll replay the G-Bag of the Day champion for you and then get to Woolchuck's top 10 here. Mm-hmm. Nation is presented by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never down to pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, go to Car and Truck Wreck Attorneys in Dallas. Let's go to the Pimp Cup. Here's sure. Lucius.
Hey, man, that coffee got me jittery, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, that coffee already got me wired. Got to go grab some CBD, bring down the volume. That coffee is loud right now.
I tap.
Yeah. Hey, if you see anything floating out there that you think we should be playing for G-Bag of the Day, funny, a fight, whatever, it doesn't matter, viral video, hit me up at Lucky Lucius P on social media, Lucius Alexander on Facebook. By the way, Kevin Hagelin, I didn't know I didn't follow him on Instagram. Because I never know. I just follow like cigars and cars and girls and stuff like that or whatever.
The good stuff.
Yeah, I don't recognize. But the whole time I've been sending videos to this guy named Kevin Hagelin on Instagram.
No way.
Yeah, I just finally went to the page. I was like, man, okay, that's why he's not hitting me back. I'm probably blocked by dude.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
So Kevin Hagelin, I got about three videos I want to show you.
Sent it to the wrong Hagelin.
Yeah. All right, our winner of G-Bag of the Day so far is Sebastian from the Cartnarks. We've had him here on the G-Bag Nation before.
Yeah.
When was that?
Couple times. Radio Row, like 3 years ago, maybe. Okay.
That's right.
Phoenix or something?
Phoenix, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Sweet. If you're not up to speed on the Cartnarks, they show the parking lots and shopping centers and grocery stores, and if you don't put back your cart, they'll press you, basically. Listen to this situation.
That's not where the cart goes. It is literally loose on an angle.
So are we going to have a conversation?
Yes, it's my job is to have these conversations and to teach folks. And you have a partner with you who could do it for you. I'm sorry? All right, there goes the hood magnet.
Did you just hit my car?
No, it's a magnet. It's a...
Yeah, but that's assault.
I don't think you know what that word means, number one, man.
I'm a lawyer.
Okay, well, give me the definition.
I'm a lawyer.
I put a magnet on the car.
Yeah, okay, we're going to call the cops. Okay.
And what would you like to say about that? What's the charge going to be, do you think, ma'am and sir?
It's called assault.
We just changed it, didn't we? No, what's assault, sir?
Assault is touching, the improper touching or...
You want to keep coming at me, lawyer man? Because you lie. And you don't know what you're talking about.
Lawyer man. Oh, my God, you.
You.
Are you employed here?
No, sir. We're a public service of highly trained, sexy agents who we go out and we help folks.
You're one of them?
I'm the head and dark. Yeah, Agent Sebastian.
Oh, you're sexy is what she said right there at the very end. Oh, so you're sexy.
I'm the head dark. Yeah.
He starts quizzing the guy on what assault means. And the guy took the bait.
He took the bait. I hate when that happens, too, because you just don't know right off the top sometimes, right. But you know you're right.
Yeah.
And once you stutter, like, you don't know what you're talking about.
It's over.
No.
And the whole crowd's like, ooh.
And what do you think?
Retweet. This fool just got owned.
There is our champ, the Cardinark. Salute to Sebastian once again. It's time now for Woolchuck's top 10 at 220. The Woolly Bully.
Let's do it. Top 10 household objects you've just got way too much of. I don't know how many paper clips you've got, but it is National Paperclip Day. Thought this would be a different list. I do want to just talk a quick moment about our Dallas Stars, as we'll have Ralph Strandish on at 5 o'clock. Can't wait to get his thoughts on this, but... This won't be the last game, all right? We're just keeping the positive
That's
momentum.
Right. Yeah.
This is not it. They will win game 5 tonight. We will go to Edmonton. We're taking this one game at a time. So just, you know, for conversation's sake, Jamie Benn's a free agent. He's been your team captain since 2012 to 2013. And Jamie Benn, World Junior Championship, Olympic gold medalist, two-time NHL All-Star Art Ross Trophy, 12-year team captain, 8 playoff appearances, 4 conference finals, 1 Stanley Cup final.
Uh-huh. It's not like you're reading his eulogy.
Yeah,
Lucius,
well,
you got that Stan music ready?
It is one of those things where I think that this, the home crowd, just appreciate 14.
Okay.
I understand it where he's taking some stupid penalties this series. Uh-huh. But, hey, we love you, Jamie. And you need to go out in the high tonight, dude. Well, you need to be a reason we win
Thank
this
you.
Game.
Yes.
All right, go take it to him.
Yeah.
Be physical.
I mean,
go pick somebody.
He's the only tough guy on the team. Woolchuck, and
put their nose in the dirt.
I told you guys,
or the ice.
I told you guys 2 weeks ago when he hit Shifley, it invited guilt. It took the dog out of him.
Yeah, well, we haven't seen it since.
We have not.
I loved what he did in the Winnipeg series. I liked it. Anybody was screwing around with his boys, he went out
Thank
there.
Thank
you. He, team K, he wore the C well. This series, Jamie. Oh, Jamie, come on now. It's time for you to step up tonight at home. Make it happen. All right, you scored the overtime game winner in Mike Modano's final game. Go out there on a high note tonight. All right, let's make it happen. We'll hopefully be back here for Game 7, and Petey DeBoer will be 10-0, and we'll go to the Stanley Cup Final, play the Florida Panthers. But just take this one game at a time, and Jamie, you need to raise your game tonight, okay? You got to be all over the place. Game 1 against Colorado, you were really, really good. Game 2, I thought he was brilliant. But ever since then, you know, we need you to pick it up a little bit, buddy. Pick it up, Jamie.
Yeah, I thought you were going to eulogize him there for a little bit.
I did too.
Skip Bayless will be calling him Jamie has been.
Well, I mean, I think that it's a big talking point going into the game tonight.
Yeah,
you know that people have been throwing dirt on Jamie. I've seen all over social media. But the bottom line is, he's probably going to get 14 retired in the rafters. He's one of the best Dallas Stars of all time.
Yeah.
He deserves appreciation. He's been a hell of a captain, a hell of a player for this team for a long time. And I would hate to see him not win a Stanley Cup. So they've gotten really, really close in his career. All right, now let's go ahead and flip this series on its head.
I mean, how old is he? 30, he's 35. He's 30. He's going to be 36 coming up this summer. So, I mean, it is around that age. It's not quite a Simeon-like fall-off, thankfully. But shadow of himself, I think at this point as the captain, you have to do whatever your team needs for you to win. And right now they need a backbone. I think you go out and you light somebody up. You fight Nurse in the first 5 minutes. You absolutely fight him in the last 5 minutes if you're down 3 goals. But you need to do something here, Jamie. Mm-hmm. You know, at one point you were a creator, you were a finisher, you were a bruiser, you played the whole game. And now, you know, you're at a point in your career where I think you got to be the goon captain.
Yeah, I mean, I think he should retire after this year. Yeah. I think he should just go ahead.
The goon captain is crazy. That's wild.
And that phrase goon, I don't think he'd like
nuts.
That.
I'll salute him.
Goon captain.
But yes, in a series where you could use a little bit of physicality.
Goon coordinator. That's crazy,
let's go.
Bro.
Let's make it happen. You're certainly not scoring. You're not going to help on the offensive side, but you can add a little bit of intimidation, and we need that.
Reminds me of Joe Pavelski last year.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's kind of see the end.
The game is very similar.
But like, you know, the Timberwolves blew out the Thunder the other night. That's what I expect here.
Yeah, they're going to go kick their ass.
It's pent up and like the excitement and the adrenaline and the backs against your wall. You only get it for one game.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to go win game 6.
Yeah.
But tonight, the skies have ordained it to happen.
Play them 10 times, they might win 9. But not this
tonight.
Game.
Not tonight,
not
baby.
Not tonight.
And I have a lot of respect for this Edmonton team, dude. Like, what has happened?
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Well, yeah. I'll tell you what I have respect for.
Who the hell are those guys, huh?
Can we roll the tape?
Well, you said, wait a minute. You want me to clarify or do you want to talk now?
No, I'm just going to ask you, is this the same guy that you said this is not a very good team?
They're overperforming, but what I have respect for is how they match up with the Stars.
Yeah,
okay.
It's a good matchup.
They've proven they're just a different team against us.
Yeah.
They have the answers to whatever DeBoer's asking.
Yeah.
Yeah, all of a sudden Skinner sees the victory green. Starts playing like he's freaking Patrick Waugh out there.
Mm. Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, yes, yesterday I was going with more like they're not that good.
Yeah.
But then I was thinking about it last night. They've done it for 10 games.
Yeah.
How does this make sense?
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Yeah.
That's why to me, and I know it's just, I just don't see Dallas winning 3 straight games.
Oh, stop it, Brian. I don't want to hear from you.
I think they've had 11 3-game winning streaks this year.
Yeah.
Hey, Edmonton just won 3 against you. You know, punch back. Let's go. Come on, boys. A rally. Mm. Let's go, boys. Tonight's the night. You start just one at a time. One at a time. Baby steps. You just get one at home. All right?
He's
just
back.
One at home. And then we move on to Edmonton.
It only took 40 hours between game 4 and game 5, but Bully Melrose is back in the house.
I can't deal with this negativity across from me, you know? Just pipe down over there.
I'll buy you a ticket if you want to go.
No. I'm not trying to start a war.
Down to $91.
Yeah, the tickets are actually cheap to get in there. If my brother-in-law goes, he might be the secret sauce. Both games I went with him, we won.
Yeah.
So he's a little bit iffy today. I did text him. We'll see. Let's get into
this. Why is he iffy? Does he have the same restrictions you do?
No, I think
it's not restrictions.
It's just trying to keep a happy life. All right. Happy wife, happy life.
That's cope right there. I know what cope sounds like. Yeah, for sure.
I'll take the copium. How about happy?
You know, she doesn't have me a check, man. I'm just trying to keep peace in the house. Happy life. You know,
tell her they need you there.
No, I don't think she would care, actually, if I went.
I miss being outside at all.
Yeah, I pissed her off this morning. I think she'd like it if I actually didn't come home.
If they won the other night when you were there, do you think you'd be able to go? No problems?
Yeah. I think I can go tonight, no problems. I think it was just last week was a bad
day.
Was
it worth it?
It's always worth it. It's fun being in the bar.
I mean, she probably knows that you don't want to throw money at a series you're probably not going to win.
Well, that's why my brother-in-law is like, I don't know if we... He's
you don't want to pay to get your team eliminated. I'm confident the Stars win tonight, but I wouldn't want to pay and then see my team get eliminated. That's miserable. I've done that before.
Well, I'd love to go. We'll see.
Maybe
when we get closer, I'll get the itch. It is kind of addicting. Like, once you start going, you get in a roll.
Should I do this again?
And this is going to be an incredible moment, I think, for the Stars fans. It'll be your last hurrah, if you will.
No. It's just the beginning, all right? It's just a step in the right direction, your boys.
Give me a Saturday night.
Ranton hat trick. Wolchuk throws the wig onto the ice.
Hell yeah.
How awesome would that be?
It's an all-time Stars moment.
That'd be amazing.
The wig just takes the wig off.
The sweater pulls right off. We're truffle shuffling our stuff. Let's go. Let's get into the top 10 household objects here on National Paperclip Day. I don't know if anybody's a paperclip hoarder out there. Honorable mention, stuff you just have way too many of. Mugs. I don't know if you guys are collectors. I know I have a ton
plastic,
of coffee mugs.
I do. I got the plastic cups.
A ton of coffee
from
mugs.
From all the stadiums.
I only have like 5 or 6. I don't have enough. You know, and it's annoying because I gotta wash them every week.
You run out.
You know?
Yeah, I think that's why I've probably bought so many over time that now I just have an abundance.
You stop drinking beer, bro. You put the mugs in the freezer.
Glass mugs.
With
the crystals.
Something different about it. It's really just the best.
That's like a one beer trick.
Oh, yeah. It's only one beer. Yeah. But that's why you got to have them stacked in there.
Yeah, multiple mugs in there.
Yeah.
We got
sauce. Just dirty them all up.
That's a dishwasher. You're putting them in there afterwards. You know, you might have two in one and then go back and get you another one.
My parents do it all the time, and I love it.
Have some class. What are you talking about, Broadus?
Yeah,
I'm just saying, though. I can kind of see a bunch of mugs sitting around. You know,
it's not practical if you and your buddies are going to drink 18 beers. Yeah. You know,
no.
If you're like a 3 beer with dinner max, a springtime
come
on the back
home,
patio,
have me a beer.
Let me tell you what, man. I admire the people that make drinks, the cocktails, but have the special ice, the round ice.
Oh yeah,
you know. But now you're playing the game.
Yeah,
you're doing
ice balls.
Yeah.
We got toilet paper rolls, which I disagree with. I can't have enough toilet paper, right? That's a terrible feeling. You're sitting there, and next thing you know, you realize, oh my gosh, I've run out. Yeah. Right? You don't ever want to be
don't
in that
don't you check scene. Before you go?
No, not always.
Not always.
Really?
Well, no, sometimes. So I've got the backup. I've got the backup right over on top in the cabinet.
I'm just not going to wipe.
I'll reach up there, and I'm expecting there's going to be stuff there. And sometimes there's not.
Be like a man and wipe it with your hands.
Yeah, that's Eric.
Just handy.
He said, I'm just not going to wipe.
Yeah, I'm just going to get up, smear it in between my cheeks, walk around all day, just regular, until I get an opportunity.
Come here, little pumpkin. I'll hold you up here with my...
Sure is itchy back here.
Poopy hand.
We got coat hangers coming in at number 9.
You can take those back.
Not the wire ones either.
Yeah, you can take those things back.
I love them. I don't think I've got enough coat hangers. 8 is condiments and seasonings.
Oh, I thought you said condiments.
I didn't know where he was going.
Yeah, I thought condiments? So.
No, it's condiments and seasonings. And I do feel like
yeah,
some
you're
those,
right. They jam up the cabinets if you don't have like the proper cabinets. You have to have a designated area. You're absolutely 100% correct. I can't put a damn thing back in our cabinets sometimes.
And they never get thrown away. Sometimes you check the expiration date.
What is this?
Nutmeg?
Cumin?
No, you use these things.
What is this?
But paprika. You have to worry about the seasonings as they stick together. You know, if you don't use them for a while, they kind of get sticky.
Uh-huh.
And that's a problem.
You got to re-blend them.
Yeah.
Re-smash them or whatever.
Problem, yeah.
Books at 7.
You can never have enough. Never have enough.
Have
books?
It's just bookshelves are hard to find. They're really expensive if you want a good one.
Come back to me or back around when you have to move. And then all those books, then you're like packing all those things, and you wish you weren't so damn
and
smart.
Those boxes.
Yeah. And then you try and carry them, and you break your back.
Everybody's resenting you.
Yeah.
Shoes at 6. They're like you're just not throwing them away.
Yeah, you just got a bunch of shoes that you never wear.
They're hard to part with, bro.
Yeah.
They're hard to part with.
A lot of memories in those.
Especially those Crocs, right, Eric?
Amen,
Crocs.
Brother. Amen.
Those are stuck to him.
Mm, they sure are. Peel them off his dead body.
When he takes my...
Yeah, be careful, man. Barefoot in a Croc. That's a dangerous game, especially this time of year.
Your mismatched socks.
I got made fun of for my Hey Dudes today.
Your Hey Dudes?
I was told that the Hey Dudes is like a half step up from the Crocs.
I've got a half step up.
Did you just get them?
The Hey Dudes? I've had them actually for a couple of years.
You just had them warm up here?
I was just crocking it
every
day.
Right now.
Trying to just, you know,
change up.
Top five household objects you just have way too much of. Five is childhood keepsakes. You just kind of keep everything.
Oh, I do that. Yeah. I kept so much of Abby's stuff, and I have it on the walls, like in my office. That's my wallpaper, just her art from like kindergarten through fourth grade. And I got a bunch of my stuff up there too. I have trophies from my childhood.
You don't want to throw it away.
I'm way too nostalgic about that kind of stuff, but it brings me joy to see it. It does.
Four is the food storage containers.
No, you can't have enough of those.
Yeah.
Can't have enough of those.
They do jam them. Like, if you don't have them organized, they're going to jam you up.
You got to put them all together. Yeah.
Well, the lids, and it doesn't fit.
Yeah, oh, my gosh.
Now you get them misplaced.
Well, it's because you wash them in the dishwasher, and then they get bendy.
Morphed. And if you throw them away, you have to throw them away where she can't see them. Because once she sees that you threw something away, you're like, oh, you could have used that. What are you doing?
You know, I've started saving the containers that you bring food home in from restaurants.
Yeah.
Washing those and, like, you know.
Oh, yeah. Those are actually pretty clutch.
Yeah.
But there's like some life quality stuff to this whole deal. Like I don't know if it's feng shui or whatever or the minimalist, but they say that you can feel the clutter and it actively it jams you up.
Yeah.
Like you can't be relaxed if you're in a cluttered environment.
Come on, man. I can't even think, bro, unless everything's organized.
Got to be clean. Top three, three is clothes. I do have way too much. And a lot of that's just because of the fluctuation with the body. Yeah.
Meanwhile, you see a tax attorney. His stuff is just all over the place. Yeah. And he's got like multiple clients. And it looks crazy in there.
How do you know where anything is?
He's not happy.
Andy Rooney with all those books.
Yeah.
Two is plastic bags.
You ever gone to a...
Yeah, the grocery bags.
Too. I don't know.
Immediately throw those away.
Yeah, I've started to do that.
You only really need to keep about two of them. They'll come in handy.
You want to keep at least a handful of them.
Why?
But number one.
Dogs. I mean, that's my lunchbox every day. Lunch. It's just like a leftover grocery bag.
And this is...
Put them in like a little waste basket in the bathroom.
DVDs, number one.
DVDs? People still hold those?
Apparently.
Wow.
I actually still do have a ton of DVDs.
Yeah, I got a whole lot.
Steak knives.
I haven't wanted to get rid of them.
Are they collector's items?
Entertain Mart. I used to try to sell them to Entertain Mart, the place in here, but they closed down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One day.
Paris Adult Bookstore, what?
Huh?
Paris Adult Bookstore, what? What are you doing? What are you selling back to?
Yeah. Well, thank you. Well, Chuck, there's his top 10 every afternoon, about 2:25 after the G-Bag of the Day champion. Rookies that have could have a big year.
Yeah.
How is this cowboy not on the list? That's coming up next here, the G-Bag Nation on 105.3.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Be the fan. Yeah, buddy, welcome back here. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day. Coming up at 3 o'clock, we'll have Stars, we'll have Rangers. And at 3:20, we are going to have a Cowboys conversation as the OTAs are wrapping up. There, I got a very interesting text from Bobby Belt, sort of recapping his takeaways. I know that's in a group text going on right now. And on Cowboys Twitter throughout the afternoon, you're going to get takeaways. We're probably going to get player quotes. Already got a bunch of shoddy quotes, as well as Brian Schottenheimer spoke earlier. KNC carry the press conference back there at 11 o'clock for you. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to the Shamar James linebacker follow-up. You know, we need something, a spark at linebacker. And if you could get that on day three, that would be rare, a day three linebacker who could really make something happen for you. But I think right now they have sufficient linebacker stuff, and I'm hoping that one of these guys can break out, Brian. You think there's a chance of that happening, Shamar James?
Yeah, you know, the thing with James, and I think Zach gave you a really good scouting report on him yesterday.
Thanks, Brian.
Was that there's some questions about his instincts, not questions of athletic ability. This guy was a 4- or 5-star recruit, chose Florida over Alabama, some prominent schools, things like that. Played at a high level, but just the instincts. And you worry because you saw Damone Clark, right?
Yeah, we've seen a number of these.
You saw
Damone Clark. Yeah.
You saw a really good-looking physical player,
but that hesitancy.
But yeah, just the fact that, like, not sure where I fit, not sure if I should take a step forward. Wow, what are they doing behind me?
Mm-hmm.
There were times at Florida where you saw this, and that's why I thought, play this guy at will linebacker, and then let him run to the ball where you don't give him a lot of responsibility. But in the media portion last week, we heard that he got an interception. I personally wouldn't put him in pass coverage myself because of the instincts and maybe what he's seeing. But when it comes to running to the football, playing downhill, all those things, very, very positive. But, man, it just makes me think about, I hope it's not the same of another SEC player like what Damone Clark was. He just can't play.
Okay, so speaking of breakout players, ESPN has a piece up of rookies who could have a big first year. And I don't think, you know, many Cowboys players would pick that linebacker, but maybe Ezeraku should be the guy. Yeah. Mike Clay did statistical projections, and when it comes to a lot of these, you know, the Cowboys, you wouldn't have a great candidate for receiving yards or rushing yards or passing yards or whatever you were for a rookie. But I thought, man, no Ezeraku for sacks is that shortchange? And the guy, they got Abdul Carter, they got Michael Williams, they got Jalen Walker, James Pierce, and then Shamar Stewart there with Cincinnati, all projected to have five sacks or more in their rookie year, Brian. Mm.
Yeah, I think, Zach, you want to go ahead? You want to carry that one? I mean,
well, I just wonder if it's, they're actually pretty deep at edge rusher now. You know, when you have Dante Fowler back in the fold. I mean, I do think Ezeraku is very capable. He's a guy that I think can be a double-digit sack dude in his career.
Yeah.
Now, year one as a rookie, I think that's a big ask. I know Michael Parsons was able to do it, but I just wonder about the opportunities. I mean, I think that they talked about a rotation. Mm-hmm. That was the one thing that I have taken from our conversation with Aaron White-Cotton on day three of the draft. Rotating. He wants to keep these guys fresh. And so when it comes to opportunities, when you're trying to get in with Micah Parsons, with Dante Fowler, with Sam Williams, who's hopefully healthy, not to mention Nealand and Turner and the other options you have on the end spot. But Donovan Ezeraku, yes, I mean, this guy should have, if he had been a first-round pick, none of us would have been surprised by that at all.
Kind of felt like he was the second or third best pass rusher in this draft.
Yeah, that's what I remember. Yeah.
And so when you're talking about that kind of ability, the ability to dip, to bend, to play at the level of the quarterback, not to get pushed past the quarterback, to have the power to be able to hold in there and then work around, whether it's outside, inside. Today, I was just, you know, and we were on this, you know, you mentioned the text chain with Bobby Belt right now, and Bobby was mentioned that the fact that Ezeraku was playing some stand-up linebacker, or, well, actually stand-up edge. So Bobby thinking that maybe he was in the spot of what Micah Parsons normally does.
Mm-hmm.
So there, I asked Bobby, I go, wait a minute, stand up? I mean, they're thinking off ball here. But Bobby's like, no, it's more about him just
on the edge, but 2-point stance.
But playing Micah Parsons,
which is what he did a lot of Boston College, and he had a lot of success with that because he's great at working angles.
So that's, you know, as long as they have a vision for the player, and I think that they do. I think that they have an understanding. But Zach's right, they got a lot of these edges. But when we get to camp, he will show up quickly.
Yeah.
You'll like go, oh, I see.
Yeah.
His tape at Boston College in those ACC games was really, really good.
Yeah, he's one of the exciting Cowboys rookies to look at, but he didn't get any love, and neither did Deron Bland. I think they listed 12 different defensive backs Siobhan Revelle.
Yeah. Because he was hurt.
The rookie corner. Is that all injury based? You think
if
healthy?
That is all injury. And I've talked to several people over there about him, and I'm saying, what do you think about this? And every to a man, it has been, this guy is so willing to do everything we're asking him to do. And he wants to be on the field. He strives every single day to get out there on the field. I've heard nothing but positive things. When this guy does play, you will see a long, rangy, competitive, ball-hawking type of a corner. I mean, his physical, when you see him live, you're going to go, my gosh, his arms. I mean, he could stand there and touch the ground without bending over. His arms are that long.
They call him the Condor, don't they?
Yeah, he's got
super long,
perfect length to play the position, and he's fast. He's 188 pounds. He's quick. I watched the Michigan game. I'm sure Zach saw the same game. Ball spills the outside, and he's the last there guy at the goal line. Steps up, takes the back on, tackle, no gain.
Gosh, that's, I love that.
That's the kind of, like, it's either you make a stop or they're going to score in a big damn game for East Carolina, and he makes a stop.
That's huge.
That's his kind of mentality that he's got.
Yeah, that's the type of attribute that when you start to see the way the ball's being run, once again, you're seeing heavier personnel, more two tight end sets,
last year than we've seen in recent years. The condensed formations, bigger bodies. They're trying to combat the smaller defenders, bigger offenses. So you got more tight ends. Yeah. You're bringing things in a little bit. Hey, corners, you better get used to playing
this
run.
This is where I think at times we miss the boat on really the Cowboys' problems. We always think the run defense problem is the one technique. They've had problems on the edge.
Yeah.
They've had problems with a fill safety, and they've had a problem with linebackers, and they've had a problem with corners. When the ball gets to that edge and you have somebody that's jumping around a block and getting walled out or pushed out or pinned inside, and now the ball is on a linebacker or on a corner, and then the linebacker gets pinned or he overruns the play, and now it's Diggs on a force or maybe Hooker on a force. You know, Wilson out of control in space, you're going to have problems defending the run when you have all those things happen.
Yeah, it's a mess. You know, one of the worst teams against the run last year. I think their pass rush win rate was fourth, you know, or something like that. Some sort of fancy pass rush analytic. I saw that. That's
make,
good.
Make opponents so one-dimensional. Like I say, I was asked a question, and I if we have a little time, and I know we probably don't. I'd like to carry it over, though, if we could on something.
Do we have time? Is this break short as well, Lucius? I know that last break at the top of the hour was only like 3 minutes. Go ahead, Brian.
There was
Brian.
A question I was asked about the Cowboys and which unit needs to be out the gate the quickest, the offense or the defense. And I wonder.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I wonder if you guys have a thought about that. Which unit that just cannot stumble out of the gate? And if you say one, I'll argue for the other. And if you say the other, I'll argue.
Because it plays off each other?
Yeah.
I'm going to need to see the offense.
Yeah.
Yeah, the offense needs to get going because that can save your defense.
That's what I'm saying right there. But you can
go score 25, 30 points.
Exactly. You find a way to score 17 in the first half, 10 in the second half.
Yeah, it's also probably the side of the ball that I have more questions about than the defense.
You have more questions about the offense or the defense?
The offense.
I don't think that's the case with these guys. Am I right about that, boys?
Yeah, I'm more concerned about the defense.
Why? But, I mean, this offense was bad last year.
I mean, do you have a left tackle that can play? Who's the play? What's going on with the play caller? What does Schottenheimer's offense look like? What's the version of the quarterback you're getting who didn't look good when they were 3-5 before he went down? Mm. How's George Pickens fit in? Do they get him the football? Do him and CeeDee Lamb start bitching at each other? Who's the starting running back? How does it work? Is it by a committee? I don't know what this offense is. I can tell you the defense, for the most part, we've seen it here before with Rod Marinelli for 8 years.
I mean, on paper, it looks like there's more holes on defense, but I get the anxiety about offense. Like, how good's that going to play? You know, it looks like on paper, like you got an all-pro there.
The only questions I've got on defense are the health of the corners. Otherwise, you know what you got. You got a lot of edge rushers. You can rotate in. How does Mozzie do? What do they do at defensive tackle? Sure, but I'm bullish on the linebacker group. I think Sanborn's going to be awesome. I'm excited about him.
Yeah, this is where the offense helps you, though, because if they make opponents one-dimensional and it turns into Dallas being able to rush the passer, we saw that, several years ago, right?
Yeah.
Where all of a sudden, like, Dallas's offense was ginning along great, and then all of a sudden teams had to start throwing the ball to catch up.
Yeah.
And then now that's six Dallas, you know, that teams aren't going to run the ball when they're
behind. You got to play
like
with
that.
The lead, I think.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Cowboys news coming up in 25 minutes. It is a Game 5 Thursday. Teams down 3-1 have a 10% chance. Are you taking the over or the under on that? Then we'll get to the C note here in the nation.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.